Got a pretty good crowd here for a Sunday night. It's encouraging. It's nice to see. Okay, we're going to be cracking some jokes about dogs, okay? All right, just get ready for it. Don't be a dumb dog. All right, when the subject of man's best friend comes up, you either hear praise for the dog or stories of how dumb the dog is. The expression, "you dumb dog," has become part of our culture, and it is applied to a person that does not behave as a proper person should. A dog that barks at nothing is a dumb dog. And then, of course, a dog that does not bark when there are intruders is also a dumb dog. A dog that acts like a cat, yeah, dogs learn by example also, is a dumb dog. All right, dogs are sometimes the focus of jokes. I'm sure we've always all heard, "My dog is so dumb." And I can tell you some stories about Fred, but I'll not embarrass him right now. All right, why are we talking about dumb dogs? That's a good question. We come here to learn about Christ and the church, and so why are we talking about this? Well, while there's good and bad things we can say about dogs, we can still learn some lessons from them. And God used this phrase describing the watchman he had set forth to protect Israel. And this is one of those negative things we learn from dumb dogs. If you will, open up to Isaiah chapter 56, verses 10 and 11. That's going to be the basis of our lesson tonight. And we're going to see what God says and the language that God uses about these people. It says, "His watchmen are blind. All of them know nothing. All of them are dumb dogs, unable to bark. Dreamers, lying down, who love to slumber. And the dogs are greedy. They are not satisfied. And they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each one to his unjust gain, to the last one." All right, God says they were blind. The context suggests that these watchmen are blind by choice. It's not that they couldn't help it, they were blind by choice. You know, we run across a lot of people all the time. Well, we show them something in the Bible, "I just don't see it. I just don't see it." And the problem is, they don't see it because they don't want to see it. And so these watchmen, people appointed by God to watch God's people, they just don't see it. The Bible speaks of those who choose blindness. They choose not to see the truth of God's word. They choose not to do God's will. And some people cannot help being blind. We know physically there's people who can't help it. Some have medically induced blindness or might have an accident or something. Those people can't help it. But to choose blindness, you have to admit, is very dumb. They are ignorant. These choose to know nothing. And we as Christians are commanded to grow in grace and knowledge, 2 Peter 3:18. And acquiring knowledge of God makes us more informed on how to please Him. We know that's our job. Our job is to please God. How do we please God? By doing what He says. How do we learn to do what He says? We study the Bible. That's what we need to do. That's where we acquire this knowledge. But these people choose to remain ignorant of God's saving message. But they still want to enjoy the benefits. See, here's a problem with most of the world. Oh, they want the benefit of going to heaven, but they don't want to have to do anything in order to get that. Well, we know there's false teachers out there can tell people whatever they want to hear. Oh, yeah, you get the benefits of heaven. You don't have to do a thing. You don't have to change your life. You can live however you want, and you can still go to heaven. There's preachers out there teaching that kind of stuff. And it is false, and these people will pay the price for it. And knowledge of God is the greatest acquisition man has ever acquired. To learn that, and many choose to stay ignorant. For many years, mankind knew there was something. They may not have been aware of what, but they knew there was something. And then all of a sudden, God spoke. God spoke to Adam and Eve while he was in the garden. Gave them his instructions. Says, you're free to do practically anything you want, but I'm going to give you one command. Do not eat from the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just don't. That the only command they ever had. And you would think, well, you'd think it'd be pretty easy to abide by that, right? Well, we know the rest of the story. It did not happen. Now, the Jews, when they came along, they had like 367 commands of thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. And they had a lot of commands. And when you get down to it, we have even more commands than that. But these people are going to be punished because they are ignorant. Hosea 4:6, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they did not learn God's ways, God is going to punish them. And he will reject them. Says they're unable to bark. In other words, sound the warning. See, the person on the wall who's supposed to be the watchman for the city, the first sign he sees of maybe there might be some danger, he's supposed to make some noise. However it is, whether it's blowing a trumpet or horn, screaming, hollering, get somebody's attention. That's his job. And then somebody, maybe with more authority, comes up, takes a look. Oh, I see what you're talking about. Rally up the troops. Let's get prepared for battle. I mean, they're supposed to do this when the enemy's far off. But these people don't make a peep, don't make a noise. They're probably sleeping, as we'll read later on, but chances are they may look up, no big deal. I mean, that's like the danger that a lot of times in our world, people see the danger coming from all sorts of things, just blow it off. They don't care. And it doesn't bother them. Then all of a sudden, when something bad happens, why didn't you do something about that? That always happens. See, as Christians, we are to be set for the defense of the gospel. In other words, we've got to be prepared. We've got to stand up for God sometimes. In our society, people disrespect God all the time. They disrespect Jesus all the time. And if we're there in their presence, wait a minute. Do not speak of my Lord that way. We've got to be set for the defense of the gospel. And we know there's people out there teaching error, and we've got to be able to recognize that and tell people don't teach that. We should be able to warn people that their souls are in danger. Now, a lot of times they get a little bit peeved, a little bit perturbed that you would dare to challenge their faith. But you know what? Let's see what the Bible says. You show them what the Bible says, then they're really going to get mad. We just have to know that they're out there. But you never know. You might show the Bible to somebody who really is sincere. I didn't know that was in there. And it might cause them to start studying some more and study themselves out of whatever denomination or false religion they're in. That's happened before. It really has. There's a lot of brethren who have come out of denominationalism, and some of them even wrote books, why I left whatever it was. Why I left this church, why I left that church, why I left the Catholic Church, Pentecostal. And they do it because they pretty much figure out that what they're being taught over there is wrong. But these watchmen who are supposed to be watching out, they're mentioned here, are so dumb they have no idea that a warning needs to be sounded. See, error may be right under their noses, but they do not know any better. Or that is what is being done is condemned by God. We see that in our society now. There's a lot of things going on which God says that is a sin. God says it's an abomination. It is wrong. And our society, oh no, no, we can't tell them that. We got to accept them. No, we don't. If we're going to stand with God, we cannot sit back and say, oh, you're okay. if you want to continue in that sin. We cannot do that. They don't like listening and hearing from us. They're going to go down the street and they'll find somebody who says, oh yeah, okay, yeah, we'll accept you. And make them feel good about themselves. See, this is a result of the blindness and the ignorance that these watchmen have. He also describes them as dreamers. These people have grand ideas and really think that God needs to get with the program. You ever consider that? We know in our world there's dreamers out. Oh, we want to have utopian society. We want socialism so everybody be taken care of and we don't have to do this or that. The government's going to pay for everything. They're dreamers. Maybe sounds like a good idea, but guess what? Somebody's got to pay for it. And who's that going to be? The hardworking people. I mean, so those who pay taxes, they're going to be stuck with that burden. And we know in our country that burden is tremendous even now. Whether this country ever recovers from it is a question mark. So, but a lot of people feel God needs to get with the program. You know how many times somebody from one of the denominations says, well, Jesus was wrong? Have you ever heard that? Yeah, sometimes on the news. There's an Episcopalian bishop when I'm talking on the subject of homosexuality. Oh, Jesus was wrong. He didn't mean what he said. And you can find that even in the church today. Jesus didn't mean what he said when it comes to divorce and remarriage. Jesus didn't mean what he said when he talked about drunkenness. Jesus didn't mean this. Or God was even wrong. Can you imagine that? But anybody who thinks God needs to get with the program, they're just basically saying, God needs to catch up and get with it. Get with the program. See, they think they can save the world, yet they do not even look or try to save themselves. All they do is really put a hardship on the rest of us. We're looking for progress, and they stop it because there's a little spider that might die. They stopped the freeway in Texas for a little bitty spider. I know they stopped an airport because of an owl. They stopped some logging because of owls out there. And it doesn't matter what it is. There was a project going on, a South Texas nuclear project. They started that for 20 years, and all of a sudden there's a little tiny frog, which nobody had seen in a long time. Oh no, we got to protect its environment. And that cost billions of dollars. It's unnecessary. These animals know how to take care of themselves. And they know how to procreate. If they're too dumb to procreate, that's their problem. All right. Now, they imagine that there are other ways in which God will accept them and others. That's what these dreamers do. They dream. They're going to do whatever they want, but God's just going to have to accept this. A lot of people do that. We're going to give God the type of worship that I want to give him. He's just going to have to accept it. That's how they think sometimes. These people will try any method and any means to acquire knowledge, but the one method they will not use is study the Bible. There's people out there reading all sorts of books by psychologists and different people. But when it comes to the Bible, they don't read the Bible. They read books about the Bible. They read books about how to study the Bible. They read books on how to use the Bible to teach others. But they never read the Bible itself. Now that is dumb. And then they're lying down. See, we're to awake from our sleep. Even Paul said it was time to wake up, people. And really, sometimes we just, as preachers, we just wish we could get a hold of somebody, just shake them real hard and say, wake up! Pay attention! And I'm not talking about those who are drifting off to sleep. Get that in mind. Some do. Maybe they can't help it. But there's a lot of people just have absolutely no idea what's going on, and we would like them to get with the program. Say it's crunch time, and we better be getting our battle gear on, you know, putting on our armor. Why? Because the devil is out there. The devil has been fighting us from the moment we obeyed the gospel. The devil has been attacking us and fighting us 24/7. And how much effort do we put into resisting? If you're honest, you're going to know not as much as I needed to. And really, we are running out of time. We don't know when the end is coming. We know that. But you know what? Every day we get closer to the grave. Every day we get closer to the end of our life, and our time is running out. We don't want to wait until the very last day because we don't know when that's going to be. Oh, I think I better get right with the Lord. It's not going to happen, folks. He knows better. He knows what's in your heart. See, we need the preparation so that we can enter battle with the forces of evil, because they're out there. We know they're out there. They know that we know we're out there. But you know what? Those forces of evil are just tickled pink when we don't resist. They just keep on going, trotting along. Well, it must be okay. Even the Christians look do this. See, these people are so secure in themselves that they do not feel the need to do any preparation at all. When you think about it, a lot of people in the Lord's church have basically fallen into this trap. They don't need to do any preparation. They make it to church once a week, and they're fine with that. Oh yeah, the Lord's going to accept me because I'm spiritual on Sunday morning. But what about Sunday night, Wednesday night? What about the rest of the week? Are you spiritually minded? I mean, some people are and some people aren't. See, Satan is prowling about. We know that. Like the lion. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. But they just lay there, usually sleeping. Now, how dumb is that? They love to slumber. And yes, we have some lazy people. I mean, if I don't have something other to do, I'll sleep till 10 o'clock in the morning. And I enjoy that so much. But that's really not what we're talking about. In Proverbs, the writer says, "Consider the ant, thou sluggard, how the ant prepares all summer long, so that when winter gets here, he has something to eat." The ant, very small creature. It's one of those four creatures that are very small but very wise. Consider the ant. The ant is in a constant state of preparation. All the time. The only exception is to defend the colony. That's the only time they're not in preparation, is when they're defending the colony against invaders or some other force. And these people think that work will harm them in some way. Yet science has proven that inactivity will kill faster than some diseases. And that's very true. You leave something alone, don't mess with it, see how quickly it dilapidates. See how quickly it falls apart. You take a house in any neighborhood around here and don't let anybody in it for 20 years, and you can tell it's going to be sagging, it's going to be falling down, the paint is going to be drying out, and before long that fall is going to be great on that house, and it's uninhabitable. We know that happens. You take a garden, you don't do anything for a garden for several years. Guess what? You got a lot of work to do if you're going to have a garden again. You let it go, the weeds are going to spring up, and the ground is going to get hard. Yes, inactivity is dangerous, and Christians ought to learn that lesson as well. And like I say, we're not talking about a Saturday afternoon nap out in the hammock. No, we're not talking about that. we're talking about those who choose to not do anything for themselves or their soul. That is also dumb. It also says they're greedy. See, greed is associated with idolatry. Yeah, greed is the acquisition of money, the acquisition of more money, the acquisition of a whole lot of money. I want more money. You see the point? That's the only thing on their mind. I want to make the money. What am I going to do with that money? I'm going to spend it on myself. That's exactly what they do. These people are great. And that's why Jesus and the apostles said greed was the same as idolatry. Because something is more important than God. Something is more important than Jesus. That becomes an idol. And we know in our world, greed drives most of the world economy these days. Everything that this world does is based on greed. Someone is greedy. And we figure, well, if we don't get our share, then we're going to suffer. We have to be mindful of this. And many are not satisfied to just do their job and enjoy life. See, you hear about people all the time. Do your job, enjoy life. Be content with what you have. I mean, you live longer. And you know what? That's a scientific fact. You don't worry about stuff. See, the problem with greedy people is they work so hard to acquire their wealth, then they spend the rest of their life worrying who's going to take it away from them. You see a circle going on there? And if they would just do their job, enjoy life, they would live a lot longer. But they want more, and they want it now. And you think, just one opportunity to make a little extra cash. Oh, I may never get that opportunity back. See, that's greed working on you. And these people sometimes gamble with the hope of hitting the big one. I haven't preached a lesson on buying lottery tickets or going to Vegas and gambling. But that's wrong. Even the $1 scratch-offs. It's wrong. You might consider, well, maybe it's voluntary taxation. That's how I'm going to look at it. But why do they do it? For the joy of just scratching something? Or for the titillation and the excitement, maybe they'll win something. That's exactly why they do it. See, they bet on just about anything imaginable. And you know this happens. Every time the Super Bowl comes around, somebody at work's got a pot going on, and you buy a slot or you buy a number or something, and that goes on. Oh, it's innocent fun, we say. But how many people spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on these pots? And maybe they'll win, maybe they won't. That's gambling. See, they jump onto these get-rich schemes, even knowing that it's probably a scam. If you get your email from Nigeria saying, hey, I'm going to send you a couple million dollars. Okay, we've all heard about that. But you know what? These people out there, they're getting smart and they're coming up with all sorts of things. And you know why they keep doing it? Because they're successful. There's some dummy out there that's going to send them some money. And they know it. Because people cannot help but being greedy. And they play upon that greed. When you think about it, greed has to be at or near the top of any list of sins by rank or danger. It really does. See, a Christian should learn to be content in all his or her situations. In Philippians 4, Paul was telling them, I've learned to be content, whether in prosperity or in poverty. Now, you might think that really doesn't make a lot of sense. But you know what? If your focus is on Jesus Christ, and you just be glad for what you have, you thank Him for what you have, you can be content. Contentment with godliness is great gain, as Paul told Timothy. And greed destroys contentment. Greed is dumb. See, these people aren't satisfied. Just like a person who's greedy, they're never satisfied. A person who's greedy, they might make $1 million, and then guess what? That's not enough. I need 2 million. I need 5 million. I need 58 million. See, just like the grave, there's never enough. Most people who gamble and hit the big one will usually turn around and spend it all trying to get a bigger one. Have you heard of that? Oh yeah, they go in, drop the money in the train. Oh, $1,000, $2,000. What'd you get home with? Well, actually, I didn't get home with any of it. Honest people will tell you that. Of course, dishonest ones, I won $2,000. I'm so happy. They don't tell you that they wasted it all trying to win another pot. See, like we said, it's the excitement that you might be able to profit that turns people on. It is no different than not doing your job, but expecting to be paid for your time. We've all seen that in the workplace. Some people don't put any effort, and they still expect to get paid. See, Jesus told the story about the laborers in the field. The guy went out in the morning, hired laborers. He went out the evening, hired laborers. Even at night, hired laborers. Then he started paying them all, starting with the last group, and paid them what he agreed to pay the first group. First group felt kind of slighted about that. Wait a minute, we've been here working all day. We need more than that. No, you agreed to it. But theft is wrong in any form. Whether you're stealing from your employer or whether you're stealing from your neighbor, going into a bank and stealing stuff there, it's all wrong as far as God is concerned. Now our society says, well, if you can get away with it, all right. That's what our society says. If you can get away with it, it's not wrong if you can get away with it. And guess what? That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? So we may drive 80 miles an hour down Thornton Avenue if we don't get caught. All right. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm a good law-abiding citizen. No, it is wrong. See, the scriptures mention the wicked who are never satisfied. In fact, in Isaiah, speaks of those who weary themselves doing what they should. Oh, it's so hard to go to work and everything. But all of a sudden, they always find the strength to practice their wickedness. Isaiah says they will travel for 3 and 4 days without food. But as soon as they get to their destination and a party's going on, party on, dude! That's what they want to do. And I'm sure we all know somebody who is never satisfied about anything. You just love those people, don't you? I didn't think so. Maybe it's our boss. Maybe it's our spouse. But don't we consider that to be dumb? It says they're shepherds with no understanding. Now the shepherds, we're not talking about those who tend the cattle or the sheep or the goats. When God uses shepherds, when we get to the prophets and they start speaking of these shepherds, He's talking about the priest. He's talking about those Levites who had the responsibility of sharing God's message. He says these shepherds have no understanding. We're talking about the type of understanding that should get them to start serving God properly. They don't have that. Wisdom and understanding are crucial elements in our learning about God. But these people choose the wrong understanding. As shepherds, they should have been feeding the sheep or the people. They should have been teaching them the instructions from God. But they didn't do it. The scripture tells us to trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. What we need to learn is what God directs us to do. As a result, these shepherds have turned their own way. They're going to do their own thing, like most people do. Of course, this speaks to everyone who chooses a way other than the Lord's way. Jesus said he was the way, John 14:6. But like I said, people make their own way. I'm going to get to heaven my own way. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to avoid sin. I can get to heaven without doing those things. Yeah. By doing so, they make their own rules, they make their own laws, and they do nothing more than ease their own conscience. They are deceiving themselves. And that has to be the dumbest thing of all. See, the sad thing is we all know people who fit these descriptions. And there seems to be more of them around us all the time. We've got to watch out, make sure our brethren don't fit any of these descriptions. We need to take warning and avoid the dumb dogs. So take this warning and examine yourself to make sure you do not display to others that you have any of these qualities. Otherwise, they might think of you, as God does, as being a dumb dog. And the thing is, it's your choice. Using the excuse, "I can't help myself," does not cut it. Sin is always a choice. Consider those thoughts. We're going to sing our invitation song, and if anyone does need to respond, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, having heard the gospel, you believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess the name of Jesus. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Become a child of God in that process, and then do what it takes to live faithful. And that includes learning. So if there's any way we can help you, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.